I'm ready. Oh, is that a drag? Is that Dragon Ball Z?
That's no. Star Wars.
I thought I was like gonna relate.
No, and, like, no. You know what though? Orange. I get it. Orange and yellow. That's very Goku. I get it.
Okay.
I totally see. If it was not for the literal Star Wars symbol, I might have been like, oh, I see.
That's
it.
Like the Resistance symbol, isn't
the
it?
The Rebel Alliance. So Resistance is a newer, the Resistance is like what they're calling the Rebel Alliance currently in modern times.
Gotcha.
So the Rebel Alliance was like the episodes 4 through 6. Now after that, Resistance.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anyways, that was embarrassing. I have it on record
that it happened.
Okay. What's up, guys? My name is Hannah. This is the Girls Club podcast. I have Holly Brown on. What's up?
Hi. You're in my apartment.
I am. I'm here. I now like you say you were nerdy, and now it's like, and now it's like really. I see it, like,
yeah,
a lot of it.
Yeah, we don't hide it. Our whole apartment is covered in nerd posters. We have, like, if you look behind you, that Minions is not something I nerd out about. That my sister works on Minions,
yeah,
the movies. But we got a lot of shit.
You got
we're very nerdy.
Games, you have a whole bookshelf of Funko Pops.
Also sitting on top of that bookshelf is me and my boyfriend as Funko Pops. Isn't
oh
that cute
God.
As shit?
Yeah, Jesus.
I got them custom made. No big deal.
No big deal.
They even have our tattoos on them.
Oh my God.
Very cute.
That's insane.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like your boyfriend like doesn't need a man cave. Like your whole apartment is a man cave.
I know, it worked out because he already had like so many things, and then I had stuff that I couldn't display because in my old place we were like, we just didn't want to put holes in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And we came together and we just bought like too much, and we have stuff we haven't even put up because we have too many pieces of art.
Is it art? Yes.
Did you just hesitate?
I'm slighting you.
This is art, Hannah.
The Star Wars poster is art.
It is. This is the original Star Wars poster.
That is cool.
I got it on the Paramount lot.
That's
worth
cool.
A lot of money. This is my retirement fund. Right.
Damn.
Here.
Damn. Okay. Don't. I won't put your address out. Damn. That's awesome. Anyways, what's up? How have you been?
Good. Just, you know, I feel like after we got back from Phoenix, like, I have done so many shows. This is the first week I've only had one show.
Yeah.
Back. And then I'm looking at my schedule and I have at least 2 to 3 shows every week. So I'm like, it feels incredible. But at the same time, I'm like, I have no life again.
Yeah. I definitely... What Holly's referring to is she did my Riff Raff show in Phoenix, which was a lot of fun. And we kind of hung out in Phoenix and did some other shows. And I shows are starting back up again. And
yeah,
life in LA, no masks.
I know. And like, I don't know, but just driving to shows, I'm like, I have to plan my days around those shows.
Yeah. I definitely don't have any sort of life. I feel like I'm the most busy Thursday to Sunday, and then I have like nothing going on.
I completely agree.
Week.
I feel like that's comics life. Or I'll think about that too. Today I was like, okay, there is not an hour today where I don't need to do something.
Yeah.
And I planned it. It's not like I didn't want it. I planned it that way. But then I thought, but it's fucking Sunday, man.
Yeah.
I just want to chill out.
That's not our life anymore.
No.
The chill out day is Tuesday.
We are Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Saturday.
You missed Wednesday.
I was like, Saturday is the last day of the week. Well, nope. Thursday through Sunday is like, just hit the ground.
Yeah. Busy. So you're starting your show back up. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Salty.
Oh. Salty AF. Man, I feel like I have to say this. It's not a name that I would have chosen for a show. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm a salty as fuck kind of gal. I used to run it with other women, and that was the only one we could agree on.
Right.
So it stuck, and then I've done it now for almost, you know, pre-pandemic 3 years. So kind of like 3.5 years, and I'm like, we have somewhat of a fan base. I can't change the name now.
Yeah, but it's now just solely your show.
Just my show. We're hopefully going to do it back up at Cat Cafe soon.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, you should be on one of those,
Hannah.
I want
to do that so
perfect. Okay, that's perfect. Because I always honestly try to find comics that love cats.
That love cats, that are weird cat people.
They can work with the space better, you know?
Yeah, not even joking. When I got out of my car, I smelled myself to see if I smelled like a cat. I was like, I hope I don't smell cat-like.
I can confirm. You do not.
Okay,
you smell wonderful.
Thank you.
You smell like a dog, actually.
No. Oh, no, no, don't say that.
Are you not a dog person at all?
I mean, yeah, they're weird to me. Like, when I see dog people with cats, I love seeing how weird they are. I'm like, they're just like a dog, but just like not as dumb.
And yeah. I was always a dog person first until we started doing this stand-up show at a cat cafe.
Yeah.
And so for those of you listening, it is a stand-up show at a cat cafe. There are 30 to 35 cats running around during the show.
Oh, my God. That's like a dream.
Or sitting in your lap. Ideally sitting in your lap an audience member. But I hate it. I'm actually very allergic to cats.
Oh, like, so you're like, you're like in a hazmat suit.
Yeah. Well, every time we do the show, I'm always like, why do I feel like shit?
Yeah.
Every time we do the show. And then I finally figured out I was allergic to cats.
Yeah.
And so now I pop, you know, as many pills as I can. And then I do the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it made me like cats so much more.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing cats that are like playing with each other, or they're like so used to being around humans that they want to come up to you and play with you and cuddle. And now I wish I wasn't fucking allergic to cats.
Yeah.
Because I get one.
Yeah. I think my big thing with dogs was when I was a little kid, we had a neighbor who had like a litter of puppies. Mm-hmm. And one day I was in my front yard in a princess dress and the puppies came over and tore my dress to shreds.
Oh my God. What is this, a Disney? This sounds like a cartoon.
I know. And now, and I feel like ever since then, I'm like kind of bitter towards dogs.
You see that dog, you're like, what outfit did you fuck up today?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
bitch.
What Cinderella outfit did you mess up?
Yeah.
Because I was devastated.
I guess you put on a Cinderella outfit to look like Cinderella at the ball.
Yeah.
Not to look like Cinderella as a slave.
Or yeah, maid, you know? Or whatever. Yeah. You know what she is. So that's kind of my beef with dogs.
You should start a new podcast. What's your beef with dogs?
What's your beef?
This week, dogs.
I feel like that podcast would get very incel-y. Just a bunch of weird cat people.
Yeah, they have
the female incels.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, I'm super excited to have the show back. We're doing it Friday, July 2nd at T-Pop in North Hollywood, which has like a perfect little outdoor. I say little. It's not that little. It's an outdoor patio with like string lights and a stage and stuff. So it's adorable.
Awesome.
It's great.
That's I'm awesome. Excited. All right. So you're gonna start doing it monthly again?
Yeah. I mean, I always, before pandemic, we had three shows a month going in three different locations. We had one in West Hollywood, downtown, and NoHo, and I loved that. Like, and I liked it wasn't repetitive having it three different locations. So I want to do that again because I'm trying to start one in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
My sister lives down there. And then just to have at least two going every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you're not like diluting a fan base of that area and stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I feel like Southern California, there's just so many people here that you can just go a couple towns over and it's like a completely different group of people who will come see the show.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, I didn't even know comedy was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to get a show going in Whittier and it's so different than LA. Even it's still LA County, but
I know.
It's a completely different place.
I know. If you were to ask me what is Whittier, I'd be like, I don't know.
It's just like a random suburb, basically.
I don't know shit. It's by like, I don't even know where it's by. Is it by Disneyland? I don't fucking know.
No, it's like Covina.
I've lived in LA my whole life.
There's no idea where
Whittier
is. It's actually pretty cute. The downtown's cute. But it is just, it's like small town.
But and that's smart though, because then people are gonna be like, there's none of this out here.
Right.
This is the stand-up show we can go to. This is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you first started the show, what was kind of the mentality to start one?
Well, you know, my mentality has always been create a space that I feel comfortable in, and that is majority women, or non-binary or LGBTQ, not white men, you know.
Yes,
and I feel bad saying that because I don't want to exclude white men at all. Like, I will always, I'm just going forward now that I'm running it solo. It's a lot harder to work with other producers and
a lot of comics. People have inputs on things.
Yes, and everyone has like people they need to put up and all this stuff. So it gets muddy naturally. But I'm like literally like, I will never have more than two men on my show.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's just, sorry, dudes. Like, you fight for the spots that we've fought for the whole time.
Right, right.
And I don't care if it's not equal. Like, bite me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We've had this conversation before. Like, for women trying to get on shows, it's so much harder just because you know, like, we rejected that guy, so he's never gonna put us on a, mm-hmm. on the show. Like, it's so hard for us to get stage time, not because whether or not we're funny or not, but because it's dependent on whose ego we've bruised.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about, like, the whole grand scheme of comics, there are definitely more men running shows right now than women.
Oh, yeah.
And not because there's less women. I think that's just how it's been for so long. So people, like, for me, when I look at shows to book, it's mostly women that I want to book because those are the people I work with the most and, like, go to all female mics and stuff. And so for men, it's both probably that, you know, they're just around their dude friends, so they want to book them, and a little sexism.
Yeah.
A little cute little spice of sexism, you know.
Dollop.
And so that leads to one or two spots for women on every show. And then you're so right, though, if you don't put that, and men are much more ego driven. So if you don't put them on your show, if they're the booker of that show, they're not going to put you on theirs.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. They just have so much ego going on, and you have to have this, like, little dance with, like, every male booker, like, where you have you have to be not flirty but nice enough that, like, you don't sound like a bitch, but then they'll take it as flirting, and then they'll ask you out, or, like, it's just like a whole thing, you know.
I know, you're like, god damn it, I just thought I was playing you.
Yeah,
it's so funny. When I started, we talked briefly, like, running shows, you immediately get hounded by people. And when I started up Salty again, this guy who has done, I would say, I think 2 out of the 3 of the locations we did.
Yeah.
He's so annoying. I'm not going to say his name. But he hits us up and hits me up, and he was like, hey, I you know, so great that you're back. Would love to do one of your shows. Your new locations look awesome. And I just responded, you've performed at this location before. We're not new to it. Like, he just phrased it in a way of, God, like, so happy you found a new spot. And I was like, we didn't. But thanks.
Yeah. You were there.
Like, that's something I feel like everyone needs to remember is maybe remember the shows you've done so that you don't look stupid.
Right. Yeah.
And you're not like, I'd love to do your show. And then I respond back, you have.
Did he respond after that?
No, he didn't. I am not afraid to burn a bridge with a dummy.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And I've noticed with my show, I'll tell people, like, I've told people in person, they'll be like, oh, I would love to do your show. And I go, oh, go to my Instagram link in bio to submit. And then they'll always message me on Instagram. And I'm like, I told you to your face to submit on the website. Like, what more can I do?
Like, because they think they have some in. They're like, they're like, oh, but she'll remember me more if I do it this way. It's like, actually, no, clerically, organizationally, I remember you more if you do it the right way.
Yeah, because I'm like, because I make a spreadsheet and it's easier for me to watch your video, and, like, yeah, and it just, people just follow directions. Just follow the directions I gave you to submit.
Not in LA, baby. In LA, everyone's like, but, like, what's the cheat code?
Right.
How do I put that in?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, going back to my new policy with, like, talking with male comics is I don't message comics unless it's between the time of 9 and 5.
Working hours.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's so smart.
Yeah. And I feel like it's starting to kind of weed out, you know, because, you know, I'll get, like, messages at, like, 2 a.m. being like, and I'm like, I'm not answering this until 9 a.m. Monday morning.
And if they're like, well, how come you never respond? You'd be like, oh, unless you want to pay me, literally pay me for my time.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you. Yeah.
That's so smart. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's my new thing that I started doing, and it's been helpful not having any sort of contact with people after a certain time.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
Fucking dummies will. Yeah, it's so funny when men see a time. They're like, they see it's 10 p.m. and you're responding to a message.
Yeah.
And then when they immediately respond back, I go, oh, no. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. The homie's doing nothing but, like, probably sitting with no pants on, ready to go.
Yep.
Nope. Yeah, I don't. And, like, I have a boyfriend and I post about him all the time on my Instagram.
No.
I will have, like, guys message me. I will post a picture of my boyfriend first. So I'm like, remember?
Yeah.
And then I'll post a picture of myself after or something. And then guys will message me and they're just like, heart emojis. Like, you're perfect or whatever, saying all these things. Yeah. I'm like, what do you think? Why send this compliment unless it's truly altruistic?
Right. Which it isn't.
Are you kidding me? I feel like right now I could fire off a text and I was like, hey, wink. Yeah. And some guy would be like, oh, honey, I have to break up with you.
Yeah.
And their marriage. And I always find out that almost all of these guys that are messaging me are have girlfriends or wives.
100%.
But because they're not, they know they haven't crossed that line yet because I haven't crossed the line.
Yeah.
Because I'm staying faithful as fuck to my boy.
Yeah.
He's my he's my guy. But if the second I cross that line, I feel like they would.
Oh, 100%.
And that alone, I'm like, so you're just like a cheater in waiting.
Yes. You know? Yes. They're trying to see like what you're willing to kind of like throw at them.
And I'm all, every time they're like, oh yeah. Cause I'll bring up my boyfriend cause I want them to know.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, thanks. I went with my boyfriend to that restaurant that you're responding to.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh yeah, me and my girlfriend, blah blah blah. And I want to be like, your girlfriend? You've been fucking sending me heart eyes emojis for a year.
Yeah. It is like, it's hard in the age of social media, like what's okay and what's not. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I, because I mean, it's kind of harmless, but at the same time it's like you don't need to do it in general. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so that line of like what is flirting online and what isn't.
Oh,
is,
totally.
Yeah.
I get nervous. I have like nightmares all the time that my boyfriend will look at my phone and just like see all these other guys and assume I'm doing something wrong. I'm like, nah, dude, read what I'm writing. I'm good. I'm solid.
Yeah.
Like, I will like straddle the edge because if someone says, you know, they want to support me in some way, I'd be like,
It's hard because we're trying to get a fan base and a lot of them are going to be men. Like, that's just.
It is.
So it's like, you're like, I need to be nice, but also, you know, what?
Not too nice. It truly is like a choreographed dance.
Yeah.
And you used to be a dancer, so.
So
you're good at it.
Definitely not.
I'm not a dancer.
I definitely give men the wrong idea constantly. And it's normally I never even respond, and they're like, you led me on. I'm like, I don't even know who you are.
Classic.
Yeah.
They're like, what did you invent in your brain today, sir?
Yeah.
You didn't respond.
Do you ever have guys come up to you and they like act like they know you and you're like, I've never met this person
100%
in my entire life.
And I feel like I will remember later.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh my God, that was that one guy that like messaged me a bunch and I don't know about you. I remember people by their handle.
Yeah,
if they're not my normal friend, if I don't know you by name, if I've never met you in person, you are, you know, fucking Lou 896 in my head.
Yeah.
Lou, probably not even your name because you're not a comic, so you don't need your name to reflect, your handle to reflect your name.
Yeah.
And so that's happened before where people come to my shows and I will be, they'll say their name and I'll be like, nothing. Yep. And then I'll go home and they'll have messaged me and I'll be like, oh my God, I treated them like I didn't know them.
It's like, yeah, you're Cheeto 69.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're Little Dick 72.
Yeah.
That's happened. Or I mean, I've done that too on the flip side. I've gone up to somebody thinking that I know them.
I just,
mostly women.
I normally just don't go up to people. I just look very standoffish. But it's only me just being like, they're not going to know who I am. But
I did that in Phoenix.
Oh yeah,
with Connie Assad, who's so sweet and wonderful, and I panicked. I honestly, this sounds fucked up. I did forget that she did our show. She did my show, but it was because it was like 3 years ago. But I met her like other times.
Yeah,
and I panicked that she didn't remember me. So I introduced myself to her, and then she goes, "I did your show."
I'm like, fuck. I love the call out of her being fuck. Like, I know you.
And then I just was honest. I was like, okay, let's break this down. And I was like, that was worst case scenario of like pretending you don't know someone. And it happened. So worst is over.
Yeah.
Now I'll just be like, listen, I've just been better at being like, I'm not good with names. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not, this is the thing, I'm not not good with names because obviously I can remember everyone's Instagram handle.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I feel like I can't say that. I just am so awkward in social situations. I really just don't listen when people tell me their names. I'm going to be honest. I just don't listen when people tell. I now have to, like, repeat it back to them.
That's like, a strategy.
Yeah.
That you have to say it three times in conversation, and then you'll remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do now, especially since I am meeting more people in, like, a professional setting. I'm like, I can't forget people's names every time.
Oh, my God.
And it's not... It's really just, I'm just anxious, you know, and I'm like trying to remember my name and like, you know, like,
hi, I'm fake Hannah Rose. Oh shit. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hannah Rose.
A lot of people do call me that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a cool name at least.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like it too.
I feel like you need like a mnemonic device or something that if somebody says their name, oh, like, did you watch the movie House Bunny?
I haven't seen it in years.
Well, I'm sure you remember this part where she says her name and then the Playboy bunny, Shelly, she'll be like, Harmony. And then people be like, what the fuck? And she's like, oh, that's just how I remember names.
That's funny.
Yeah. Like, oh, maybe you should do that.
I get a lot of, I get so many guys who will either message me or in person be like, the fake Hannah Rose, who's the real Hannah Rose? I've gotten it like 50 times.
That's number one. Yeah. Number one. They think, they all think they are brilliant.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. They're like, I got this singer
they're
for
like,
you.
Yeah, they're sitting next to your friend like, watch me about to get a date.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've gotten that one a million times.
You're like, oh, this worked. Come over to my place. Then you just give them a dress for somewhere else.
One time, a guy asked for my phone number and I gave him my dad's cell number.
What happened?
I don't think he did. I don't know. I don't think he did anything. My dad never said anything about it.
Or so. He was like, hi, is Hannah in there? And he's like, wrong number. And then he hangs up and he goes, oh, shit, that's my daughter.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Nothing happened. I thought I wanted chaos to ensue and nothing really happened.
Damn!
So,
yeah. I've never done that. And I'm not even get the chance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you could maybe mom.
Oh, yeah, because my dad's dead. I forgot. I meant, like, because I have a boyfriend. But also, my dad is dead.
I was thinking the
very funny. Love where your head's at. Yes, I'll give my mommy's number. But my mom's hot. So I feel like they'll get excited. They'll be like, damn, cougar. Fuck. I fucked up.
Or you give your boyfriend's number.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, but then he'd be like, why did you give him a number at all?
Right. Yeah, then it could be a whole fight.
Yeah. One time, because I used to be a bartender. And you meet so many people, and bartending is so similar actually to that fine line balance of like who to talk to when you're trying to get on shows and stuff and how to talk to men. Because you want them to tip you.
Right.
So you have to be nice. You have to like kind of insinuate that you would flirt, but not ever flirt. And if they want to give you their Instagram or give you their number, you say, oh, here, give me your Instagram handle. And you just never follow them.
Right.
Or something. But this guy, I'm not about an opportunity, and this guy was like so nice, and he was talking about how he he did something in movies. It wasn't like overt, like I'm a producer. It wasn't creepy. It was something very specific.
He's like, I'm a gaffer.
Something really specific and high ranking, like a PA. And right. I think he was like a writer or something, and he just wanted to give me his business card. And I was like, this is best case scenario, because I can just take it and never use it and throw it away. But he ended up like not having his business card, so he wrote it down on a piece of paper, but he wrote his work email and his name. I was like, okay, this feels innocuous.
Right.
And I put it in my pants, like put it in my pocket, go home that night. I take my pants off. My boyfriend saw something fall out of it, and he's like, whose name? It's like some man's name.
Yeah. Who's Nick?
Yeah. And it was like nick@blahblahblah.com. And I was like, babe, it's a guy. And then you go into this place, go, oh no, no matter what I say, it's going to look fishy. Even though I could like tell you how platonic it was and how nice it was.
Yeah.
He has a man's brain. So he's thinking like, well, that guy
territory.
Had
territory. Yeah. Yeah.
And territory and no men doesn't want something back.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong.
Right. But it doesn't mean that like I did something wrong. Right, it was total like, oh, I see both sides of this, because if a girl's name fell out of your pocket, I'd have a couple questions.
Yeah.
But I, you know, haven't done that since. So you don't have a business card? Just, you know, come back to me when you do.
Yeah. I'm not good. Getting a piece of paper, you know, with a little kiss on it. Or
Nope. I know, because I'll be like, seal it with a kiss.
Yeah.
XOXO, yeah. Something so simple.
Yeah.
Start a fight for the rest of my life.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, did you have a lot of experiences like that as a bartender?
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine.
Oh, my God. And especially when you have tattoos.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, I have more tattoos now than I did when I was bartending like a year and a half ago. But even having any visible tattoos, it's like somebody sees you and they're just hook, line, and sinker, just fishing line you in. Hey, I'd love to talk to you about your art, blah 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 blah, blah. And then I'm
nice
dumb
ink.
Yeah, I'm dumb, and I'm like, thank you so much, I love it too, it's permanent. And then they'll be like anyway, so like what do you do? And I'm like, and then telling people you're a comedian as a woman, as a bartender.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Yeah.
Just send me out to pasture.
Honestly, when people, when stranger, or like an Uber, they'll be like, oh, what do you do? Or, you know, I just, I just lie.
Yes.
I don't say comic ever anymore.
Oh my God. Unless I'm with my boyfriend, right, or other people that can be like, no, she is, you idiot.
Right.
Even my mom's new boyfriend, who I just met this weekend, like within seconds of meeting him, he was like, so like, do you write your own jokes, or do you like go do a lot of crowd work? Like, what's up?
And I was like, what kind of questions are these?
Yeah, first of all, way to let me know, never come to one of my shows because you don't know what stand-up is.
Right, right.
Do I write my own jokes? Which I've been asked that a lot. Have you ever been asked that? People ask,
I don't get asked, do you write your own jokes? I get asked, what do you even talk about?
Oh, yeah. What are they? What's your style?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, not everyone's a prop comic, right?
Yeah.
I don't, what do you mean style? I'd be like, what's Dave Chappelle's style? It's just funny humor.
Yeah.
All humor is observational.
Yeah.
But like, so I don't know what they want me to say in those moments.
Yeah, me neither.
So I'm like, funny. It's funny.
Yeah, I like to make people laugh. That's my style.
My style is...
not to bomb.
Yeah. My style is bombing. Yeah. I perfected it. I do it very well. Four nights a week.
Yeah, like, do they want us to... Like, for me, like, oh, I'm just like a dumb blonde on stage. Like, you know, what do you want me to say?
I do think they want... I think they want that because it's easier for them to, like, make judgments about you really fast, about your comedy and if you're funny or not, if you tell them that.
Because
then they are fitting you into a mold.
Yeah.
I remember right in the beginning of stand-up, first 2 years of stand-up, comics I actually liked, like male comics, I didn't have a full grasp of who I was as a stand-up yet, because like, who does in their first year of stand-up?
Yeah.
And I would do a lot of impressions on stage because I do impressions.
Oh my God. I'm so bad on impressions. And that's like what I did first year. Cause it's like,
no way.
It's like so easy to get a laugh. Cause even if you're bad, people are like laughing at you.
It is.
Yeah.
And so I did impressions but I knew that I liked writing like slightly more darker jokes, just slightly. I just didn't know how to do it yet. And I would get so many comics tell me like, you know what you should do? You should like lean into like a dumb hot girl persona.
Oh my God.
Did you get that before?
Oh yeah.
I'm like, but you know me, Tommy. I'm a smart person.
Yeah. I'm not going to act stupid.
I'd be like, oh, okay. Then you should lean into like racist, sexist, homophobe.
Yeah. Yeah. You should lean in that incel vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. It blows my mind that people are like, because they think they have such a little limited knowledge of how women can be funny.
Yeah. Or have any concept that like women have lives and have like, brains. And
I'm like, honey, even Marilyn Monroe was smart. Like, that was this thing. Then she duped you all.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Paris Hilton, super fucking smart.
Super smart,
Kim
bitch.
Kim Kardashian. They're all, there's a reason why they're billionaires.
Like, I know. And that's why they're probably all like, then do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're all wrong.
Yeah.
But I mean, stand-up is such a different form. No stand-up comedian pretends to be dumb when they're not dumb.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
You can't.
You're selling yourself in stand-up. You're not selling, unless you are playing a character with a different name and a different persona. I can't go on stage as Holly Brown and be dumb.
Yeah.
Because I'm so smart. As I'm saying that, I'm like, wow, I sound like a dick.
It's okay, guys. She has Star Wars stuff everywhere, so she's a huge nerd.
Humble me, Hannah. Yeah. Humble me.
I see something that looks like it's from Harry Potter. Is that from Harry Potter?
That one?
Yeah.
That's from Scrooge McDuck.
No, the thing.
Hey, oh, that is. It's okay. My key holder. It is Alohomora. Yes, okay. It's a Harry Potter spell. Okay. That was bad.
I look at David Bowie. I'm like, is that Harry Potter?
He has a lightning bolt on his face. Yeah. That'd be really funny. I'm going to take a picture up later and be like, I'm going to tell my kids this was Harry Potter.
That's funny. That's a good TikTok.
Yeah. People are dumb. They want you to be what they want you to be.
Yeah.
They never want you to be yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like as like a chick with tattoos, people think I'm like super overtly sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Or I always get guys will be like, you look like you're trouble. And I'm like, I'm a neurotic Jew. I'm not I'm the least of that, but
I'm not. I'm trouble because you will hate me at the end of this.
Yeah. I'll be upset if your apartment is not a crisp 72 degrees.
Trouble. Yeah. Ooh, trouble walking in.
Do you get that a lot with having tattoos?
Yeah. I feel like it. And I mean, I know this sounds stupid, but sometimes I wish I had blonde hair because I feel like it helps that much. Not come across like too harsh.
Yeah.
But
I've noticed being a blonde Yeah, I mean, people are a little bit more friendlier to me. Yeah.
And I feel a little fucked because people's perception of people covered in tattoos, in which I'm not covered fully, but I intend to be one day. And I have a lot of visible ones, though. And I can tell, like, I'm tall, I have dark hair, I tend to wear black. Like, I have a lot of tattoos. None of this is, like, me trying to create an image. That's just what I like. And I can tell when people meet me, they're, like, either so shocked that I'm nice. And they're like,
people are always shocked I'm nice.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh. And then it makes them, I can tell they're confused on, like, how to view me then.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, but she's really nice, but she has these tattoos. Like, I feel like I immediately go in their heads from visibly, like, maybe I'm a cool person.
Yeah.
And then immediately, like, oh, she's a fucking dork.
Yeah. I mean, look at this apartment. There's a, again, I'm going to say a shelf of Funko Pops.
Okay. Wow. I'm so glad you can't see the other ones that are hidden in the closets.
Your whole room is just covered in Funko Pops.
I know. You go in my room, you're like, Holly, you need to go on Hoarders. This is not okay. But I do. I feel like people can't imagine people with tattoos sometimes as also being very nerdy. Unless they're all nerd tattoos.
Right.
Which I don't have.
Yeah.
I have one.
Yeah.
Wait, do I have another one? I don't remember what I have.
I know. I do that all the time. I'm like, wait a minute. Do I have? Oh, no, I don't.
Or do you forget about them sometimes and you go, oh, shit.
Yeah. All the time. Especially in the back of my arms. Yeah, I definitely have had a lot of people be like, oh, I thought you were, like, gonna be mean. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why?
You're like, cool, so now what?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Did you like me more when I was maybe mean in your head? I don't know. Yeah, I feel like people think, I'm not as cool as people think I am.
Yeah.
Or because my version of cool is, you know, watching Avatar. Tight.
Cool gang.
There's a squad there. They run deep.
They're making
another one right now.
They're making another one?
Yeah.
They're doing
a show, like a live action show.
I feel like that's going to be bad.
I think it's going to be good. Because the creators of Avatar are working on it.
Oh.
Whereas in the first live action movie, all bets were off. Nobody that worked on Avatar worked on that movie. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe.
You know I'm talking about the animated series, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I panicked because there's an Avatar movie.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the James Cameron.
I was like, oh shit. Did I come across like the biggest James Cameron Avatar fan? Ugh, I don't want that.
No. I've seen the whole show. I like that show.
Oh, I love that show. I do want an Avatar tattoo.
What? Goku is hot. No, that's not his name.
Aang?
What's the fire
Sokka?
Guy?
Sokka?
Goku?
Oh, Zuka. Zuko.
Wait, who's Goku?
Goku is in Dragon Ball Z. Full circle.
Why do I know things about Dragon Ball Z?
Is that maybe when
I'm
you...
dated nerds. That's why. It's coming out.
Your nerd is speaking. When you're drunk, you become a nerd or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Wait, Zuko. He's hot.
Yes.
He's
the one with the scar over his eye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, he's like hurt and like damaged.
Yeah, and he's the most dynamic, complex character on the show.
He is. He grows the most throughout the whole series.
You root for him, and you're like, I don't know if I should.
Yeah, and then you're like, at the end, you're like, it was all worth it.
I like a big like Katara. I don't know. I'm like torn because, oh my god, I gotta shut up. I was just gonna. Like, I love one of my favorite things, especially because as a kid, I loved like you know when you see the Spice Girls or you see the Powerpuff Girls, and you automatically identify with one of them.
Yeah,
and that's what I think. Part of the things I still love about nerd culture is like being able to see yourself in these collective groups or Harry Potter houses, or like it helps with confidence because I'm like, no, I am like that.
Yeah,
like I was sorted into Gryffindor. I fucking am a Gryffindor bitch.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. So yeah. Avatar, you know, has all the elements, and I'm like, am I an earthbender, am I a waterbender? I don't know.
Yeah
because the worst is when your perception doesn't meet up with reality, because you'll ask a friend like, oh, what Harry Potter house do you think I'm in? And they're like, oh, I think you'd be in Hufflepuff.
And you're like, what?
You're like, oh, I didn't know we weren't friends anymore. Wow. Turns out I'm Gryffindor, you idiot.
Yeah I wonder if there's a test for
Avatar. I think I took it.
Of course.
I think I didn't like my response, my answer.
What was it? Do you remember?
I think it was like water. Well, I want to be air very bad.
I want to be fire.
I think you would be fire.
Okay. Thank you.
I need to be fire. I want to be air because I, Because I'm like, if there's anybody in my life that is Avatar, aka the chosen one, it's me.
The chosen one.
I am Avatar. I am the Avatar. I would have the arrow on my head. Okay.
Right.
So and then my boyfriend will be like, to the death. He'll be like, you're not air. And we'll
I actually could see you be water.
Bitch! Why? Tell me why.
Because it's. Hold on. I'm going to really go into this. I think you're water. I think air. I mean, I guess I'm talking about Aang. Because the other avatars are smarter. Mm-hmm. He's a little kid, so he's like not as smart.
I know.
I guess that's why I'm kind of like, you wouldn't be him because mm-hmm. he's kind of an idiot, but he's like 12. So.
Yeah. And he was asleep for like 100 years. Yeah. So
we kind of give a little bit of a break. But I just feel like the water sign is just like, is smarter.
They are smart. I do think they're the smartest. I think you're right. Yeah. So I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
Compliment.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the thing, like in your own family dynamic or your friend groups, like you'll be something different to everybody, which is so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want I know I'm a Gryffindor and that's all I care about.
You know it in your heart.
I'll die happy. Hell yeah. I'm Sasha Gryffindor. I'm basically Harry Potter right over there. I'm pointing to David Bowie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Cool. I'm trying to think what else. So when did you start doing stand up?
The first time I did a shows and mics was 2015.
Okay.
But I took a stand-up class at Second City. I was doing the improv program.
Mm-hmm.
Had no intention of doing stand-up. I always loved stand-up, but I just, in my head, I was like, I've just loved improv so much more for so long. Then somebody in Second City desperately needed more people to fill this class or it was going to get canceled.
Right.
And so someone was like, oh, will you do this class? I'll use my intern hours. You don't have to pay for it. I was like, sure, whatever. Yeah. And then I did it and I was like, oh, shit. This is what I want
this
to do.
This is it. Yeah. What did you learn in the class? I'm always curious if people feel like they benefit from stand-up classes.
I loved it. Though okay. I've done another stand-up class and I've seen other people's, like one of my friends took one over quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated the way the teacher did it. Yeah. I think it's so dependent on what they do. What they did for ours is what I thought it helped you discover what you might want to be as a stand-up. Because it would – every week it would be like, okay, this week we're going to focus on storytelling.
Mm.
I desperately needed help with that. I feel like I fell asleep in my own stories before.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh shit, is she done? Oh, it's me. Then the next week would be one-liners. And then the next week would be characters. Okay. So like we covered, I would say, almost every genre of stand-up.
I feel like that's a kind of Second City approach to stand-up too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I loved it because you don't ever beat yourself up if you're not good at one thing, because right. then you're like, well, this might not just be for me, so I can do the next thing. And I did find that I weirdly loved doing one-liners, which I thought I would incorporate in my stand-up more, but I just actually, I'm like, oh no, I just want to be a late night writer. Like, yeah. That's what I love. I love monologue jokes.
Yeah.
But I loved it. But then I was so nervous to do it that I did like a couple open mics and I did the grad show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I probably didn't do another open mic for a year later.
Mm.
So fully like balls to the wall 2016.
Yeah.
And then it just haven't stopped.
Yeah, I feel like everyone starts stand up mm-hmm. and then has some really weird experience and then they stop for a period of time and then they have to like get the courage back up to do it again.
They like go to an open mic, the first one's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they say it's their first open mic.
Right.
And then they go to the second one riding high off that first one. And then not a single person laughs and a weird man tries to kiss you after the show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah, you're like, oh, is this what stand-up is? I have to get unsolicited kisses?
Yeah. I had at one of my first open mics, I had a guy mime jizzing on my face. So.
Oh, my God. No.
Fun.
Yeah, what a way to make people welcome.
And I was, what, like 18?
Yeah, like.
I was, and I looked 18. I looked young. We'll say that.
Oh my God. I mean, I can see that alone. Like people that don't have thick enough skin would be like, I'm done. I'm out of here.
I mean, it is a weird, like you have to get so calloused
mm-hmm.
and you have to get a really thick skin. Sometimes I like joke around with people who aren't comics and I hurt people's feelings because.
Yes, totally.
Because I'm just so used to people being so mean.
Mm-hmm. And I love it now. I feel like I'm second nature now where I'm just. Like, I'll watch a show and I'll be like, damn, that guy looks like fucking
Rasputin's dick or something. Yeah, like, yeah. And then somebody around me be like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, that was a good burn, you bitch. Like,
yeah.
You
don't know. That was a good roast. If we were in roast battles, yeah. I would have won.
Yeah, and my friends, some of my friends that are have nothing to do with stand-up would sometimes now, they'll be like, Holly, you're acting like a bully. I'm like, just because I'm fucking funny doesn't mean I'm bullying anybody.
These people can't take jokes. Yeah. These snowflakes.
I'm like, I'm not a bully, you bitch. Give me everything in your wallet.
Yeah.
And your lunch money.
I have a hard time like playing nice with not comics. It's like I have to turn it on and off.
Totally. I do, and I'll walk away from those encounters if it's a non-comic. I'll be like, was I too harsh?
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah. I'm like, oh god, I hope they didn't think I was an asshole. I was just trying. That was my friend. That was me flirting, and I called them a cuck. Like,
do you ever feel if it's a non-comic friend, I'll be talking to them, and I've doing comedy for 6 years now, my opinions, I like very strong opinions about things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most people do, but I think you learn to be more flexible with them in conversation when you're not a comic. But when you are a comic, you're like, no, these opinions are my life. Like, and so if I have a really strong opinions about something, I can sense other people being like, oh, like we were just like trying to chit chat. And I'm like, oh shit, sorry. Whoops. I didn't know. I wasn't like,
you're
supposed
like the
to.
Whole point about my thing is I have like a POV. It's like a whole thing.
So like stand up. Okay. So it's like, you're standing up and I'm just,
and like, you have to like know what you believe. Like,
like I was talking to a comic about, or not a comic, a friend about the TV show Hacks, the new HBO show that's about stand up. And I could sense like I was getting really hostile in the conversation. I could, because of her body language.
Yeah.
And then I had to stop and I was like, am I coming across like a little harshly? And she goes, she's so sweet. She goes, honestly, yeah, a lot. I was like, oh no.
Do you not like the show?
No, not, I haven't watched it. I when things are, they're so close to the thing that you do.
Right.
I have a hard time watching it.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. It's like, I imagine a doctor watching Grey's Anatomy be like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, they got this wrong and they got this right. So that's how in Hacks, like, with the young struggling comic, like, I just don't want to open that door and just be mad at something.
Yeah. I have that. People always ask me, like, what do you think of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Oh,
I
get always.
That all the time. And I really like it, but I also, I'm like, but that's like, I really like the show.
Oh,
but
I loved
it's not
it.
My life. Like,
it's no one's life.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the 50s or 60s or whatever, but everyone always asks me, like, what do you think about Maisel? I'm like, I don't, it's a show.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I feel like people want so badly to connect with us as stand-ups when they find out we're stand-ups.
Yeah.
But in a way that's like, oh, I get what they do when they don't.
Right.
Whereas, it's like if they're a doctor, they would never be like, do you watch ER? Or like, did you read that medical journal last week? I didn't. I just want to know if you did.
Yeah. It's like finding out someone is an alcoholic and being like, my mom's an alcoholic.
Yeah. You know? You're like, what does this help?
Yeah. Okay, cool. Good for you.
Our experiences are probably very different. So, yeah, I got that all the time. And eventually I just started asking people, like, do you ask male comics this?
Right. Yeah. I wonder.
And they don't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I get why they would ask female comics. It's more of me trying to shut it down. Where I'm just like, I don't want to talk about
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
A girl that got famous in 1 year on a TV show, become a famous stand-up comedian in this show within 1 year.
Yeah.
I'm like, I still love it, but it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that a lot. So you kind of dipped your toe into stand-up, kind of. Yeah, that's what I did. I did a lot of improv, dipped my toe into stand-up, and then I was like, that guy pretended to jizz on my face, moving on.
Yeah.
And then I just, I did a stand-up class, which I liked the class. I don't know if I necessarily learned a lot, but it gave me, like, the confidence to start to, like,
totally
do it more. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and then I just had to, for so long, I was so nervous at open mics. Did you ever have that?
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. I feel like I still only get nervous at open mics.
Yeah, because it's like, it's your peers.
Yeah.
And especially now, after not seeing them for a while, you're like, I don't want to seem like I'm, you know, dumb now, like, you know. But for so long, I was so nervous at open mics. And I'd just be like dripping sweat.
I never did a ton of open mics, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I know that, like, being in the improv community, I did meet a lot of stand-ups, and then I worked at a comedy club before I did stand-up. So once I started doing stand-up, I knew people.
Right.
And it was very much like I knew the booker of Flappers, so he just started putting me on every show.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, tight. And I just treated every, like, YooHoo Room show as an open mic, basically. I was like, I'm going to try out all my new material here.
Yeah.
And then it's just so funny when, like, the thing clicks and you go, oh, I can't do impressions anymore. That's not me.
Right.
Like, I can do them, but you just, like, hit that one year where you're just like, oh, I know what kind of jokes I want to write.
Yeah. Yeah. I have so many jokes that I just, like, threw out because I was like, this isn't me. This.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you have these, you've worked so hard to build up this material.
I know. It took you so long and you're like, this is all corny as fuck.
Yeah. Like, if somebody right now was like, can you do 40 minutes? I'd be like, a good 40 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh,
I could do, like, jokes about, like, I don't know. I could do share impressions.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever think about back when you thought you were good, too? Like, when you thought you fucking crushed a show. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then you watch that tape, like, a couple years later, or you think back to what the jokes you did were then.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Did people actually think I was good, or are they just, like, supporting me,
right,
encouraging me?
I feel like we're gonna feel like that in a couple years, just with our stuff now. I feel like it's just forever we're gonna feel like,
oh,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's not, to some extent, I think it probably starts to lessen a little, but always there.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing, like, tapes from Flappers from when I first started, and I was like, oh my God, like, I thought I was murdering.
And it's, and like, it, now you know what that means.
Yeah.
How many how much laughter means you're fucking crushing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah. I'm like, and a lot of my stuff, I was like, I'm not even making sense with what I'm saying. Like, no one's following this.
You're like, why did they? You're questioning why they laughed.
I know. Like, I'm honestly judging them now because.
Yeah. you go back in time. You guys don't laugh at her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't laugh at her. She's not making sense.
Why was she talking about Cosmopolitan magazine? She's never read it. Like, what?
That was so something, too. When you first start stand-up, you write jokes that, like, you think are funny, not jokes that are true to you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I definitely did that. I definitely wrote jokes where I'm like, I don't have any experience in this. What am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah. But you're like, I guess it's, like, topical.
Mm.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'll just... And also, I feel so much more comfortable doing crowd work now than I used to. I was terrified to do crowd work.
Yeah. I feel like that's something with running my own show. I'm trying to do it more to get more comfortable, but I feel like I still have anxiety doing it when I'm on someone else's show because I don't want to like fuck the show up.
That makes sense. My boyfriend sometimes he'll go to shows with me. And I'm always looking at him like a little puppy dog, like, did I do good?
Yeah.
And he'll be like, you were so great. But the one consistent thing he always tells me, he's like, man, you're so good when, like, someone yells something, or, like, you're so quick when it's crowd work. And then I'm like, should take the compliment. But my brain is like, but what about my fucking jokes?
Yeah.
I wrote those.
I worked years
yes! on these. Thank you. But also, fuck you.
Like, yeah.
It's weird when somebody tells you you're good at something that you're like, but that's not what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
That's not the part that I work super hard at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thanks, babe. I love you.
Thanks for the tips. yeah. Yeah. But I want to get better at crowd work just because I feel like that's good content to put online, since that's something
you
have to worry about now.
You do.
And I feel like as a comic, you have to be churning out material and stuff to put online every week and still have jokes that aren't burned that I'm like, I want to get way better at crowd work just so I can start posting those things.
That is funny to think about, because back in the day, like – in 1989, this one comic would probably do a version of the same set for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah. You need 5 minutes, go on late night.
Yeah.
You know.
And now if you post a joke and someone sees you do that joke, it's just kind of like, oh, people think you're not writing enough or something. It's
right.
Like, no, that's not how this process works. You fine tune, you perfect. Like one time, my boyfriend, sorry, I talk about my boyfriend so much, but I do live with him. We early in our relationship, like 6 months in, he was like, you don't write any new jokes. I know.
And you were like, listen.
I was like, don't kill him. I was like, well, one, I'm very happy and in love, and it's hard to write when you're that happy.
Right.
Two, I was like, well, that's kind of how this works. Yeah. Like, I get that you don't get that, but also don't, it's a weird thing to judge somebody when you don't do that craft.
Right.
You know? And so he gets it now because he'll notice the changes I make to jokes and stuff. But
yeah, you're honing jokes for years. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel like every comic's best special is always their first one, because that's the one, those are the jokes they've been working on for 10 years.
So fucking right.
Yeah.
That's what one time a comic told me. I was like talking to him about Comedy Central specials, like 30-minute specials or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it takes 10 years to have a perfect 30-minute special.
Yeah.
And then you think about everyone's specials after, like Eliza Schlesinger or Amy Schumer, like they've gotten worse and worse and worse. And, but it's not their fault. Like, they have to keep turning out that stuff to make that money though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And a year just isn't enough time.
No.
Yeah.
You write a whole hour special in a year. I'm like, I question your sanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you okay? What do we...
Like, what are you doing besides shows? You're not living life to write this material.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I have jokes that I've been working on since day one that I still mm-hmm. do and are still changing, and I'm adding new stuff. And
or it's like, take a break from a joke and then you come back to it a year later.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit, I like that joke again.
Yeah.
Or I thought of something funny to do. Like, I like hate all my jokes right now. So.
Yeah.
I'm like, right, rewrite them all.
Yeah. Yeah. I go through periods where I hate all my jokes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like before the pandemic, I was so in my head about stand-up, like doing as many mics and shows mm-hmm. and worrying. And I was just so in my head. And then the break kind of helped me take a breath and
mm-hmm.
see my material in a new light.
Yeah.
So I did like that. But yeah, yeah. I'm getting tired of them again.
Mics or your jokes?
My jokes. Yeah. I guess I'll start working on other stuff then.
I've only been writing like very not, when I say raunchy, like I don't write jokes like and then he like fucked her in the ass, like
mm-hmm.
I've been writing like sex related jokes, but they're very like, I wrote a joke about the first time I ever watched porn
mm-hmm.
and I'm realizing, I'm like, oh my god, is that but I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, is that something I didn't know I like to do, is write sex jokes?
Right.
And now I do.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I feel like my issue is I write so many sex jokes, but I also just started having sex. Like, I'm like, this is my whole life. I'm 23. You know what I mean? I'm like, what are my hobbies other than you know what I mean? Like dating. Like,
I mean, yes.
That's what you do at 23.
Listen, it doesn't matter what you're writing about. You write to your experience, and your experience is that right now.
Yeah.
Currently, right now.
Yeah. So I'm like, I write about other things, but I'm like, I don't know anything about anything else. All I know is I give men erectile dysfunction. I don't know what it is.
Whoa! No way. No way.
I try. No.
Because
it's on purpose.
I try. You're like, I want them to not get hard.
I mean, that's how I take down the patriarchy.
You like trick them. Boom.
Yeah.
What is it called besides erectile dysfunction when you can't get hard? There's a word.
Blue balls?
It's like, God, impotence.
Impotence.
Did it. I did it. She did it.
Impotence. Yeah.
My boyfriend's going to be like, what'd you guys talk about on the podcast? They'll be like, impotence.
How to make sure they never get hard.
With Hannah Rose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One time, this guy got erectile dysfunction with me. It was a guy I met on Hinge. And I told my mom that I, like, invited this guy over, and she got mad. She's like, you invited a stranger over? And I was like, it's not like I'm going to get raped because every guy I'm with gets erectile dysfunction.
You're like, even if they wanted to, Mom, which they do.
Yeah, yeah. They literally can't. And she laughed so hard because I tell her we have no boundaries.
Oh.
And she's like, you know what? That's fair.
Oh, that's so sweet. I was like, it's so funny. You go, oh, so sweet. You told your mom about a limp dick.
Yeah, yeah. I was dating a guy who had a small dick, and my mom and I called him LDG for little dick guy.
Oh my god.
And my mom would text me, she'd be like, are you hanging out with LDG?
Oh my god. Do you have the dream relationship with your mom?
I think it's too much. I think it's not appropriate.
Really?
That's what happens when you breastfeed until you're 4. You tell them.
Hannah, write that down. That is so funny. When you listen back to this,
okay,
remember
okay,
this moment.
Okay, yeah. I I've been trying to incorporate. So, okay. I'm just going to run by.
Love it. Let's do it. A premise.
So I didn't know this was weird until very recent. It's like when you tell someone something and you think it's normal and then it's not normal.
Wow.
So I've actually talked about it at shows, but I don't really have like a joke about it. People just laugh because it's so crazy. I would go to preschool, the Jewish Community Center, half day, come home, breastfeed, do my lunch. And then I would masturbate to soap operas.
Whoa! Wait, how old were you? Like five?
Like three.
Dude, I relate to that though. Not the breastfeeding part. I'm like, that is dealer's choice. I cannot speak to breastfeeding. I don't even want to judge it because I don't know. But I masturbated when I was like that young too, for sure.
Yeah.
When I was like 5 years old.
And I do it. This is way too much information.
Do it.
I still masturbate the same way that I did when I was three.
Oh my God. I have tried it. It doesn't work as much well for me. You know? I think I just grew too much.
Yeah.
I'm very tall and big.
I do remember when I was about 12 or 13 when it felt way different.
Mm-hmm.
When I like actually was going through puberty and I was like, oh, this is like a way better feeling than just like the dullness that it was.
Did you ever get caught when you were doing, because I imagine like you don't even know if that's bad, so you might just be doing it in the family room.
Yeah,
you know,
I did.
And did anyone ever say anything, or they just let you live your life?
They let me live my life, which I don't think they should have.
Really? I feel like that's the healthiest. I mean, like, healthy with like a dose of like education and talking about
Well, I would go in like a little playhouse and do it. Oh my God.
You're just predicting your own future. You're like, I'm going to live in my own place in future. And all I'm going to do is masturbate.
I mean, I'm kind of over masturbating because I've done it for like 20 years. Like,
yeah, that I did I used to have a babysitter. Like both my parents worked when I was, you know, wasn't in school yet.
Yeah.
So I was like 4 or 5 years old. I had to have been at least four. And I had a babysitter who babysat my sister as well. And we would do nap time. And every time I did nap time, I was like, nap time? Hell no. I'm about to go to town on myself down there. But I didn't know what I was – I didn't know it was not, like, okay to do during a nap.
Yeah.
And so my babysitter would always be like, get so mad at me. And she would call it, stop playing with your butt. And let me clarify. Oh, no. Let me clarify. I was never playing with my butt. Like, no shade to those who do, but I wasn't doing that at four, getting pleasure from it.
Yeah.
I was just masturbating and like lying down on your stomach because that's what I did for nap time.
Yeah.
She would always make me feel so gross about it.
Yeah.
And I carried shame with it for so long.
Yeah. I do feel like you do have to have a talk with little kids of where's the right place to, like, don't do it in public. That I think a lot of little kids don't, because they don't understand, they're just like exploring. And I had a friend when I was a kid and her little brother was like three. I think it's very common for little boys to like put their hands on their pants and like move it around, and he would do that all the time in public, and they'd be like, I remember they'd be like, Stefan, hands up.
Oh, cute. Yeah. I mean, imagine if you were a 3-year-old with big old titties, all you would do is like flap them around and like show them to everybody.
Yeah,
like I think I did that as a child as is. No tits. I can't imagine if I had honkers up there.
Things happening. Yeah. Yeah, so I want to make a bit out of it.
You should.
Yeah,
I feel like
there's so
it fits in with like your other material too. I feel like that would work really well.
Yeah I've talked about it at shows and I've gotten good reactions, but I don't really know like the beats of it and where it kind of fits in the other things.
I don't know. I feel like it just has to be,
but it is crazy
specific. I mean, like, what soap operas was it? What really got you going?
It was Sunny on One Life to Live. I can't remember what soap opera he was on.
I need to look this up. Right, I need to see his face. Sunny on One Life to Live.
Or he was on All My Children.
I don't know. No, not this guy.
Let me see. That guy.
Hannah. Oh my God.
And that's why I date old men.
Oh my God. How? And it's not like you were, you know, that's so funny. That's just your brain and what it liked.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't have been old enough to be like, have any too many factors influencing that.
No. Yeah. How at that point, my life was like pretty normal. And I just.
Well, he looks kind of good there.
That looks like Bradley Cooper.
Oh, that's not. I don't think that's it. I just wrote a new bit about the I'll just say it because it's a wild story. But I like one of the first times I ever looked up at porn on the internet, and I'm looking on porn, and I'm just like typing in like random words. I'm like www.penis.com. Okay, cool. I nailed it first try. I nailed it. And how on other porn sites they have advertised other porn sites.
Right.
You know, so it's like you just click it and it takes you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I saw a picture of a cartoon. Mm-hmm. I saw like the Simpsons family. Mm-hmm. And they didn't show like anything crazy. It's just them. So I was like, oh, I'm fucking 11 years old. I love cartoons.
Yeah.
I do need a break from these penises. Let's click this.
Yeah.
And then I click it and it's like the whole Simpsons family going to town on each other. Like incest and all, just
wait, like an animated.
Oh yeah. Oh, apparently, God. It's like the most popular animated cartoon porn ever. But they're all fucked. There, it was just everybody. The grandpa was involved. Everyone was involved.
Oh my God! I want to see that.
And so I click out because I'm fucking panicking. But by the time you click on one thing, five other windows have popped up.
Yeah.
And then your search history looks insane.
Yeah.
But I'm 11. I didn't know what search history was. So I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning to hop on my computer and check my email.
Yeah.
And I have an email from my mom and dad.
Oh no.
And they had woken up.
An email.
And I'm like sitting at the computer. I go, this is weird. They're right in the next room. Why are they emailing me? That's weird. And I read it and I'm not thinking anything. And I can't remember the specifics of what it said, but essentially it was like, we saw what you were doing last night. We are very disappointed in you. You should not be doing that. And I never talked to them about it.
My God.
I was so mortified. They thought I liked cartoon incest porn. I do not. Let me make that clear. I don't.
On the record.
I was an 11 or 12 year old just like clicking things.
Yeah.
And I never talked to them about it or anything. And my mom's coming to my show on Friday and I'm doing that bit.
Oh my God.
And I feel like it's going to be cathartic to finally get off my chest. Like, mom, you've been carrying around that you think your daughter likes cartoon incest porn and she doesn't.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
And she gets so embarrassed when I do jokes about her too. So
yeah, I don't think I really have talked to my parents about masturbating at such a young age, but my mom does listen to this. So,
oh shit.
I feel like I always thought I was being, I kind of knew what I was doing the whole time. I thought I was being very sly about it, but I was just in the middle of the living room.
But like you talk, just put a blanket on top or something.
Yeah.
And that'll be it.
Yeah. Or I did like what cats do where they like hide their face and think like no one can see them.
That is such little kid mentality. Yeah. They're like, well, there's no way they saw this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's
so, mom, don't call me later about this, because sometimes my mom will like listen to my podcast and then call me and be like, Hannah, I didn't know. I'm like, don't, mom, just we're not gonna talk about this.
You know what, it's when if it comes up organically, it comes up.
Please don't call me talking about this.
It's so funny because I am so curious when I tell this joke on stage on Friday if my mom is gonna her memory of it is, it could be way different.
Right.
If she's like, oh, we didn't think it was like that big a deal, we just tried to tell you don't do it.
Yeah.
Whereas I read that email and I was like, they want to give me up for adoption.
Right.
They hate me. I am bring shame to my family.
Yeah.
So I'm so curious if she's gonna be like, I don't even remember sending it, you know.
Yeah, I don't meanwhile
it,
happening,
you know, was a foundation of my life, so yeah. We'll see.
That's funny. Cool. Well, thanks for being on.
Oh my God,
absolutely. We talked about things I didn't know we were going to talk about, but it happened.
I'm sorry if you had a plan and I derailed it.
No, this is exactly what I wanted. Do you want to plug anything? Your show?
When does this come out?
I'll put this out Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, I have a show, T-Pop in North Hollywood, 7 p.m., Salty AF. You just follow at Salty AF on Instagram or at Holly Brown Comedy on Instagram.
Cool.
That's about it.
Cool. I got awesome. A bunch of shows. Yeah, I'll put your links in the bio. Okay, thank you for being on.
Great, thanks.
Bye.